We continue our strong women conversation on KEXE, KBXE. One of the issues that's come up in our focus groups across the board and that we hear about all the time is the effects of child care and lack of child care in our region. Shannon Fitch is an owner of a child care business in Grand Rapids, and she joins us now. Shannon, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Is that the right way to describe it? You're an owner? You run a child care?
Yes. Owner and in some cases lead teacher. The child care offers preschool programming, so owner, lead teacher. We go with all that. Daycare lady is also fine, to be honest with you.
Is this something you always wanted to do? Why'd you get into this field?
I got into the field because my husband and I moved to Grand Rapids. We had three young boys. Our oldest at the time was in first grade, and then we had one that was a preschooler and one that was a year and a half. And my main reason for getting into childcare was because we couldn't afford to send three boys to daycare and or find daycare for them, for all three of them, and that was in 2003, 2004.
I can't imagine that it's easy to start any business. What's it like to even think about being a child care provider? How does the system even work?
Well, there's a licensing process, and that was the first thing that I had to look into, was how do I go about doing this legally and the right way? And that is a matter of getting a packet from licensing, and it talks about how your home needs to be set up and just different criteria that you need to meet. And it's like any other licensing process. It's a paperwork approval. There's a fire code inspection kinds of things. And I don't actually do my childcare in my home. I do it in a rented location with a good friend who also does daycare in the same location, two separate. Originally, I actually worked for Invest Early. Went back to school to do an early childhood degree at ICC at the time when they offered it, and was able to hook up with other people that were getting into that career field, and so met who would eventually become my business partner, and so we kind of did it together.
We're hearing about this crisis, really, for childcare, and what do you think that means? Let's talk sort of broader and then get into kind of how it actually works, but this isn't just an issue for the parents of a child who needs childcare. What do you think that means to our communities when this is going on?
I think it has a huge, far-reaching impact on our community. I think that when your community, to be a growing and successful community, needs to be able to attract young professionals into the area and or retain the current families that are in your area. And without being able to find childcare, those families either A, have a parent, and it is usually mom, who ends up staying home with the child and quitting her job or taking an extended leave of absence to care for children, or those families decide to move out of the community because they can't find quality childcare. So it's huge. And, you know, over and over, you know, I've done this for coming up on 14 years, I hear stories and I get phone calls from parents who are at their wit's end. You know, we would like to move to Grand Rapids, but I've called 50 people and we have these ages of children and there is no option for childcare. The waiting lists are 2 and 3 years long. In many cases, kids would be in school before they would be able to find childcare. So it's really huge.
So when you get someone calling, I'm sure it just pulls at your heartstrings and you would like to be able to solve that problem for every person that calls you. Why can't you just add a couple of new kids to your what you do?
Well, and that's something that's changed over the years. There is something called a variance, which, again, 14 years ago when I was starting my business, was not entirely difficult to get. If your licensing is a C2, that allows you to have 12 children, of which 2 have to be over the age of 5, and you can only have 1 that is under a year old or an infant, and then 1 other that would be a toddler. So it's a math algorithm none of us understand, but we memorize it, so that's what it is. We used to be able to call a licensor and fill out some paperwork to say, this child won't be moving into this category, age category, until this time. So I need a variance for the next 6 months to accommodate these families, and it generally was not a huge issue, depending on the provider and their level of experience and education. Now it is almost impossible to get a variance for an extended period of time to accommodate those families. So you end up turning away those families, or you end up with a family that you have that becomes pregnant, and the whole family has to move and leave the daycare because you don't have room for that infant. So the options for having an extra child, even in one age category, has become very, very difficult.
We also hear about costs of child care. What is it, a business that can sustain you and your family? What about costs on the other end for the families and stuff? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's huge. As a child care provider, it is a great business to be in from a career standpoint. I have a degree in education, and I know that I do better financially being a child care provider than I would being a teacher, no question about it. Granted, it's a 12-month-a-year job as opposed to a 9-month-a-year job, but it's definitely better financially that way. There's no benefits. You don't have paid vacation. You don't have health insurance, but you can, you know, self-insure, or if you have a spouse who has that coverage, which is luckily my case. But I think that it's just a decision that you have to make. That's, you know, the cost of what you're going to charge the families on a, and what I do is the daily rate, which I think is what most providers in Itasca County are doing at this time. They're in the metro area, it's a little bit different. They charge typically by the week. And I would say that infant care ranges anywhere, in Itasca County, infant care for a daily rate ranges anywhere from $35 to $60 a day for a child under the age of a year. Toddler, which is 12 months to 24 months, is probably anywhere between $30 and $50 a day. And over the age of 2, anywhere from $26 to $35 a day. So it's expensive.
Yeah, you know, and if you have more than one kid, and
Yeah. And there are programs, child care assistance programs through the state that families that can qualify for that are eligible to receive, and then that covers a portion of their care, and then most of the time many of those families also have a co-payment that they make to the provider, but the state picks up some of the cost.
Have you seen communities do something about the issue of child care? What are you seeing out there?
I have. A couple of years ago, in the summer of 2016 for Grand Rapids, the Blandon Foundation, which is amazing, enlisted the help of an organization called First Children's Finance, and they came into our community and they put on phenomenal training where they brought in child care providers from across the county, invited them to the Timberlake, had a great dinner, and then we talked about some of the challenges that we're facing, both families and child care providers. It was also attended by most of the licensing staff and administrators within Human Services, Itasca County Human Services. And so it was just a great way to put some ideas out there on the board. And so we were asked, you know, what are the challenges faced by providers? And we wrote them on cards, and we put them on a sticky board. And then First Children's Finance took a look at that, and they came up with a portfolio of ideas. And what it involved was a training for child care providers, and 75 providers in the community, only 7 of us actually showed up for the next meeting. But it was a summer of training, a leadership cohort that basically taught us how to have stronger businesses. Didn't end up focusing on the community, the structure, the regulations. It was more, how can we keep you in business, making better business decisions? And so ultimately what we did was we raised our rates and we became less flexible. Probably, you know, if you ask most anybody, actually added to the problem as opposed to help the problem. It didn't give low-income families or at-risk families greater access to high-quality care. It actually helped in eliminating access to care for those families. So, unfortunately, sometimes the things that are the best ideas on paper turn out to be not the best ideas.
You said about 14 years you've been in the business of being a child care provider. We're talking to Shannon Fitch today in our Strong Women conversation on KEXE, KBXE. You kind of talked about the difference in licensing over the years. Other differences you've seen since you began this career path?
Definitely. Beyond the scope of what you charge each day and so forth, we've had to change a lot of the way we run our businesses because of regulations. And it's not that I'm completely anti-regulation. We need to be able to provide safe and high-quality environments for our young children and infants. But it has reached a point, in my opinion, where it's become prohibitive for some people to get into the business and or stay in the business. The nitpickiness, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Nitpicky.
Sure.
The nitpickiness of some of the regulations that involve fairly expensive cash fines. You know, an example of that would be if a licensor were to stop and you do not have a crib sheet on your pack and play, it's a $100 fine on the spot. And so that becomes an issue for a lot of people. If you have, it doesn't matter if they're in the wash or, you know, whatever, if they come in and you have a pack and play and it's not covered with a crib sheet, it's a $100 fine. That's intimidating to a lot of new providers, especially because they're afraid that they're going to screw something up right out of the gate, and then they're going to have these fines and they're going to have correction orders. You know, that's a small example, I guess, but mm-hmm. infants cannot be seated in a car seat carrier at any time. And I agree with that regulation. Like, I don't think infants should be sitting in their car seat carriers all day long. In fact, in my case, I make sure that the parents actually leave the car seat in their car. Like, I don't want it inside my childcare in the mm-hmm. event that the licensor should stop and even seize it on the floor. I don't want there to ever be a question that there's a baby in a car seat carrier. They can't be slept in any kind of device, a swing, a high chair. You know, things that people can do at home with their kids, you absolutely cannot do mm-hmm. in a childcare setting, and to the good or bad of that. But it's definitely intimidating to some providers.
You know, I've been hearing these conversations and had the chance to go to a kind of a press conference that Amy Klobuchar was part of in the Brainerd area. One of the issues that came up there, and you've already mentioned it, but how to attract new people, new industries to rural towns, which we sorely need, of course. But one thing I hadn't really thought about was people who work different hours.
Right.
And they were talking about, you know, trying to get new doctors, new law enforcement, you know, all kinds of different fields where your hours are different. Tell us what that is like, because someone blatantly asked right there, well, why don't you just, and it was a big, you know, daycare provider, and why don't you just add nighttime
right
to what you do?
Right. And I've definitely been asked that question in the past too. And the simple answer is it's already a 65 plus hour work week for most of us as it is. And that doesn't even include the time spent outside of daycare hours where you're shopping for groceries or you're prepping for meals or you're doing lesson planning. So it's just, it wouldn't be cost effective, quite frankly, especially in this area, to offer overnight care. And, you know, the next question for many would be, why don't you hire somebody to work the overnights? You know, there must be a college-age person who would be willing to, you know, spend overnights and be there for those kids, for parents who work shift work. And the answer is there may be, you know, that possibility. But then there's the added cost of when you add a person to your childcare setting as an employee, there's the cost of training that person. They basically have to have the same level of training that the licensed provider has. So they need to have, and should have, first aid, CPR, SWIDs, or sudden unexpected infant death training, abusive head trauma training, and then an additional 16 hours annually of child development or education training. That altogether costs between $450 and $700, depending on where they get that training from. Typically, the licensed provider covers the cost of training for employees, and it's also not an $8 an hour job. Those people are taking care of human beings. They're not, you know, I don't want to put down any other industry, but they're not making cheeseburgers. They're mm-hmm. taking care of humans. And that's a $12 an hour plus job, in my opinion. Just is.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other ways people are getting childcare in our region, how that impacts you as a private childcare owner. What are you seeing out there?
What I am seeing, and predominantly in the infant and toddler care arena, because when people can't find care, they are looking for help from family members, grandparents that have become integral in covering the places where their child can't be in childcare for. I've also seen a large pop-up of, I would say, more like traveling nanny types of situations where people are going into other people's homes and caring for, you know, not necessarily that family's child, but maybe one other family's children as well. Or what we've also seen is work groups of women who, oh, I said that. I said women. I mean, work groups of families with children. Busted. You know, that they all work on a unit, say at the hospital or one of the hospitals in town. So they actually are working their shifts around one or the other families being the childcare provider for that day and then taking turns. So groups of families of children are working together to cover days of daycare without the use of childcare providers. That presents, in my opinion, its own set of challenges. They're not licensed. They're not regulated. And there's really no say in, you know, how that works. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily putting it down because I think people are doing what they have to do to continue to be able to work. And in a way, I think that's smart. But at the same time, I think that it lends itself to potential safety issues and concerns. And I would not like to see kids get hurt or there to be something tragic happen because people don't have the appropriate training to be caring for that many kids.
Well, and let's be honest, it is probably women who are doing this, and that's putting a lot of extra pressure on those women.
It is.
That is different than just the extra pressure of raising your own children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's literally, it's come down to a choice for so many women. Do I continue in my career or do I take a break and, you know, stay home with the kids? And in my case, I feel like when I made the decision to start the childcare, and I know many providers who say this, it was going to be until my youngest one was in kindergarten and then I was going to move on and continue to pursue a career in my original career field, which would have been teaching. You know, just given the circumstances, the economy, the fact that I knew that I was doing better financially as a childcare provider, I feel like it was kind of a segue to put me into where I am. And I'm very happy and very fortunate to have amazing families and kids. And I love what I do. I get up in the morning and I really enjoy it. And I'm very fortunate.
So, Shannon, let's say you had... you had all the power in the world to change this system.
Oh, boy.
what are a couple of things you might do differently in how this world is set up and what the government does, you know, all those kinds of things?
Well, I think that first and foremost, I would wish and I would hope for a society that had more value in caring for children, in that piece of our society being so, so important. The brain development that takes place between birth and age 3, it's because science, we've learned that that's a huge piece of an individual's life where they're learning and absorbing so much information. It's important for those little people to be with people who are caring for them and giving them an environment that's allowing them to grow and have a chance at having a good life. I wish our society valued that more. There's not a dollar amount, in my opinion, that you can put on that piece. So I don't necessarily know how to fix that, mm-hmm. but I think that's number one. We need to value it more. And I hear people talking about just being a babysitter or, just makes the hair on the back of my neck stand straight up. It's not that. And even when you have a babysitter, if you have a teenager coming into your home and watching the kids on Saturday night, that's still a human being that you're putting in charge of your children's lives, and it needs to be a good quality situation as well. There's no age limit on that. I just think we need to put more value.
That's Shannon Fitch. This is the Strong Women's Conversation that you've been listening to on KEXE KBXE. You can catch up on other conversations at our website, kexe.org. And if you want to nominate someone, send me an email, Heidi@kexe.org. Shannon, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.